If you have a non-English name, you can identify with this struggle of what people call you. Many kids will take on an anglicized name at school and use their given name at home. Bik Min Nguyen's parents said no. They said be proud of your name. But the way other kids and adults mangled her name gnawed at her. And eventually, 2 decades later, she changed it. Nguyen's story and how she writes about it as a well-recognized author speaking at St. Lawrence University in Canton tomorrow. That's today's story of the day.
Support for Story of the Day comes from Long Run Wealth, an SEC-registered investment advisor in Lake Placid, providing comprehensive wealth management, retirement, and financial planning solutions. LongRunWealth.com.
Hey, I'm David Summerstein. It's Wednesday, March 27th. First up, the state recently awarded Clinton County $3 million to help develop its former airport property. As Kara Chapman reports, winning the funding may help put the county on the map for more businesses.
The Clinton County Business Innovation Gateway, CBIG for short, is located off State Route 3 in Plattsburgh. It's right next door to an existing industrial park that's currently at full capacity.
We could have more businesses here all the time, but we're running out of space, and this property provides a very unique opportunity to address that need.
That's Molly Ryan, Clinton County's Economic Development Director. She says there's a big demand for land that's available for development in the county, and this $3 million from the state will help address that problem.
What this award will help us do is immediately open up about 130 acres of land.
That's about a third of the 450-acre parcel. Ryan says the state money reimburses the county and closes the gap on a $6.5 million project to develop those acres. According to a press release from Governor Kathy Hochul's office, this portion of CBIG will be able to support up to 1.7 million square feet of industrial space. The state funding supports improvements to water, sanitary sewer, stormwater, and electric infrastructure, as well as the construction of a roadway. Ryan says that builds on existing advantages, like CBIG's proximity to the highway, rail, and the Plattsburgh International Airport. And she says getting the state funding also puts something of a spotlight on the site. It's now designated as a shovel-ready property through Empire State Development.
They're working with people calling New York State every day and figuring out where to set up shop in New York State, and now this is one of the locations that they will have on their radar.
As for opening up the rest of the 450 acres, Ryan says that'll depend on identifying additional funding sources, both private and public.
Obviously, we never want it to come at the, on the backs of the taxpayers of Clinton County.
Ryan says the project will benefit taxpayers by generating sales tax revenue and expanding the tax base. But she says the CBIG development isn't just about benefiting Clinton County. Ryan says new businesses mean new jobs available to other North Country residents.
That's important to Clinton County, but it's also important to people who live outside of Clinton County because those are opportunities that they can also take advantage of.
Ryan says the state funding ensures that this phase of CBIG's development will be completed by the end of the year. Kara Chapman, North Country Public Radio.
As a baby, Bik Minh Nguyen's family fled Vietnam a day before the fall of Saigon in 1975. After passing through a series of refugee camps, they settled in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Her given name is Bik, spelled B-I-C-H. And growing up in a mostly white, mostly conservative community in the 1980s, she faced relentless, often racist bullying. You know what your name sounds like, right? That kind of thing. She says her name made her miserably visible. As an adult, she changed it. She wrote about it in a New Yorker piece called America Ruined My Name for Me. She's speaking tomorrow night at St. Lawrence University in Canton, and she spoke this morning with Monica Sandreski.
My parents were very progressive. They were like, we're not changing for anybody, and we have to be who we are, and we have to be proud. And they were ahead of their time, is what I'm saying, because I agree with that now. But it did make my life really difficult back then. And I don't even mean to blame them. I think I'm blaming myself because I did not know how to be in the world as a person with a super Asian name that people were always getting wrong and making fun of.
At what point did you realize that your name meant something to other people that you sort of had to deal with?
My given name was immediately, as soon as I went to school, a source of conflict for me. My earliest memories of school are about being made fun of and having to learn how to endure it. I associated school with endurance. I still do, sort of, because I had to code switch so intensely and I had to pretend I was not Asian, which sounds really terrible and in hindsight was terrible. And then at home, very Vietnamese household, my grandmother lived with us and did pretty much all the cooking, and she was a great cook and made Vietnamese food all the time. Coming home was always a relief, an actual physical relief that I didn't understand till many years later. And that relief was not having to pretend I was somebody else. I didn't have to explain myself at home. I just was. And that kind of dual life is necessary for a lot of people, but it has a deep emotional cost.
Can you share a bit about that, about what that emotional cost was for you, is for you?
Yeah, I think the emotional cost has to do with not knowing what is real, what is authentic, who am I supposed to be? And growing up is so much about figuring out who am I, who am I supposed to be, and who should be telling me how to behave. You know, racism was not something we talked about. Multiculturalism, that word, was not something we talked about. We all just tried to fit in and not have the difficult conversations that people have now about identity and selfhood and awareness.
You've said before that, like, growing up, you were pretty self-conscious and shy, but that a question you've sort of had to ask yourself is, was I shy or was I traumatized?
That question, was I shy or was I traumatized, is a question that has plagued me for years now because there's no answer. And there is a back and forth relationship between those two. And I don't know. And I'm not even sure those things can ever be separated, but the trauma doesn't help. But what really doesn't help is not talking about it.
In the New Yorker piece, you wrote, "I took on the shame of not being strong enough to handle the shame of the American gaze." What do you mean by that?
I mean that I felt bad that I wasn't strong enough to handle my given name. And I have received a lot of criticism for changing my name. And I was always told before I did start going by Beth that it was a weakness to change one's name, that it was a betrayal. That's why I didn't change my name. That's why I went 30 some years. I felt that I had to endure. I just had to be strong and, you know, be proud. And it actually took me all that time to realize I was being that person. I was being quote unquote proud, whatever that is, not for me, but for the approval of others.
Who was pressuring you to keep going by your Vietnamese name?
Everybody I asked. I would run this idea by various friends. People, strangers, I would ask. Every once in a while, I would say, well, what do you think if I went by a different name? And they would all say, don't do it. Sometimes people got mad at me and they would say, I'll never call you by any other name. It was, I realized, much bigger than personal identity, much bigger than personal choice. It's about representation. And it brings to mind questions like, for whom? For whose gaze? And who gets to decide what we are called?
That was Beth Nguyen. She's the author of several books, including Owner of a Lonely Heart and Stealing Buddha's Dinner. She's speaking tomorrow night at St. Lawrence University in Canton. She spoke with Monica Sandreski. We have more news all the time on our website, ncpr.org. Music today by Caitlin Scholl of Lake Placid and Patricia Julian of Burlington. I'm David Summerstein, North Country Public Radio.